We rise. Grace to you and peace from him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to God. To him be glory and dominion now and forever. Amen. We pray. Dear Holy Spirit, guide us into all truth as you have caused it to be written for our learning. The congregation may be seated. A recent article in a local newspaper reported the impact of religion on our community. The basic consensus from those interviewed was that you should choose a church that fits right for you. As one pastor said, if you had a bad experience in one church, go and find another, because there's lots of churches in the Tri-City area. He's right that there are a lot of churches. How does one even begin to find the right church? What church will fit your needs? One of the local churches around here offers a theater and a climbing wall. Sounds attractive. What if I said that God could offer something better? What if God offered a church with a beauty that far surpasses this church and any other church you've ever walked into? It shines like precious stones. It has streets of gold. Maybe you're still interested in the climbing wall. What if I could tell you that God offers something that's even better than streets of gold? The picture in Revelation is figurative. The beauty that's described actually is surpassed by what heaven offers. We see that God has built something even more beautiful, something eternally free from sin, something which offers full communion with God, nothing separating you from your Creator. Surely people would flock to such a place. Where can we find it? How can we sign up? This church called the Holy City isn't seen advertised in the local newspaper, and you can't find it by MapQuest. We consider our text, which comes from Revelation chapter 21. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of God from out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day, there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is the Word of God. As we read, we find this holy city, this holy church, comes down from above. It's held in the hands of God even now. The Spirit writes in the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 12, that you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect. The New Jerusalem, the holy city, is not any earthly thing. It's described as made up of those names registered in heaven. It consists in a spiritual membership and the covenant of salvation. We cannot see it. We cannot touch it. Not for now. Paul writes to Timothy, the Lord knows those who are his. So also our text says, the only members of this holy city have their names written in this special book of the Lamb. Yes, this is a book that isn't opened until the last day. Chapter 20 of Revelation says, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. Until that book is opened, until heaven comes down to the new creation, it remains hidden, which means you can't see who's a believer by works. You can't see it by membership. You can't see it in our nation. You can't see it in our denomination. Part of us doesn't really like this. We like things visible and tangible. Comparison. We like a church with a climbing wall. And what I mean is, we like to be able to see our progress to the top. To see that guy down there who's behind. To see how far I've come since last week. And to see her up there who's always a step ahead. To want to catch up. We should quickly realize that this isn't really what we want. Because this is the old mountain. The climb of the earthly Jerusalem. The climb which leaves us under the curse of the law. Hebrews calls this the mountain that is touched and burned with fire, the darkness and blackness, the sound of a trumpet that speaks words we cannot bear to hear. To rely on our progress related to other people is to try to climb a mound of expectation that you're never going to get over, to have a debt that can't be passed over by your works. She had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. The true Israel is not an earthly membership. It is atop Mount Zion, a dwelling place of faith that you believe in. Throughout the book of Revelation, that number 12 signifies this church, the spiritual assembly of everyone who believes in Jesus. Paul writes of this in Romans chapter 4, that Abraham is the father of circumcision, not only to those who are of the circumcision, but to those who walk in the steps of the faith which Abraham had. For this promise does not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Because the law brings about wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise would be to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is father of us all. This is the great city, the spiritual Jerusalem, both of those in the Old Testament who truly believed, and those in the New Testament. It is founded on the apostles and that which Scripture has revealed, the 12 foundations, God's holy word brought to us in Scripture. It is not climbing the way to the top. It is the faith of Abraham. It is sinners like you and me who find ourselves at the bottom. We need God's grace. Only that can call us, choose us, and give us eternal life. If it is not a matter of works, if it is not a matter of belonging to Ascension Lutheran Church, of calling yourself Lutheran, or even calling yourself Christian, how can we be certain our name is in that book? Come, and I will show you the Lamb and the Bride, the Lamb's wife. You saw it when you walked in. You saw the baptismal font as the entrance into this assembly. For by baptism, you are washed. You are made a part of this heavenly communion as we read Ephesians chapter 5. Christ loved the church and gave himself for her that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Like a marriage there in Ephesians chapter 5, the two have become one. You have been joined to Christ through baptism and through the preaching of the gospel, that which you believe, a spiritual communion, that Christ gave himself for you to wash you. And so the baptismal font is your entrance now into the heavenly Jerusalem, not just to sit in these pews, but to believe what is being spoken from God. What comes from above, a gift of God's grace. In water, the word works wonders. The word washes away all your sins, both those that come by nature, those that you committed as a child, those that you commit as a husband or as a wife, those from your past and even from your future. He washes away those evil inclinations which we seem to lack any self-control over. The word works the wonder of salvation, delivering you from death and the devil. There shall by no means enter it anything that defiles, verse 27, or causes an abomination or a lie. The bride has been prepared, married to Christ, adorned with his righteousness, because it's not your works, it's his. It's his righteousness in life and his payment in death. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, but that she is holy and blameless. So what will sustain such a beautiful creation with us? With all our weaknesses, this last week our treasurer reported that we haven't even paid our April mortgage yet. Only once this whole year have we met our budget for our expected offerings. What is our first thought when we hear these things? Time to cough it up? Or we start looking around wondering who's going to give more? Who could give more? The church is not sustained by what I'm giving, and it does not deteriorate by a lack of offerings either. The beauty of the heavenly city is not in what we do, but in what Christ has done for us. It is the adornment of his works, which comes in a call to repentance, to always be looking back to ourselves and how we've come up short, and how only the grace of God can carry us onward. The forgiveness of sins. Verse 22, I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. sounds pretty good to us. No more light bill. The church is illuminated by the Lamb, by fellowship with Christ. As Luther explains in the Catechism, the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. This is all the more reason to find the right church and to care about what the budget is, to care about how our church is surviving. Nothing could be more precious than the gospel proclamation which forgives your sins. It's not climbing walls, it's not numbers, it's the word which saves us, which brings Christ to us. We need this congregation, because it's in the local congregation that the presence of the church is made known, that believers are drawn together for a common purpose to further this message of forgiveness. As Luther also explained, in this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all sins to me and all believers, and will give to me and all believers in Christ eternal life. This is most certainly true. This is what moves our hearts and lives to give ourselves to our Savior. This is what moves the widow to give her two mites, more than all our offerings put together, because it was given by love and faith. This is what moves us. God is ever more concerned about our hearts than anything else. He has redeemed you to be his special thank offering and to give yourself freely. There are a lot of churches out there. So which church is the right fit for you? More than what appeals to our eyes, we need what appeals to the needs of our heart. The true proclamation of free forgiveness, the spiritual communion that comes through the sacraments. We long for a day when this separation from other churches and even from God through our own sins is brought to an end, where we'll all be joined together. The gates are never shut. We're gathered into the heavenly Jerusalem on earth. There's no need for lights. There's no need for bills. There's no need for fear. The doors are always open and the Lamb shines forever. Amen. We rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.